guy. You get Sammy Watkins in there. Some unknowns in there, but I like Alan Lazard, and I think he's got a chance to step up this year.
Lazard's interesting because obviously he's not been a number one for the Packers or any team in the past, but they're also not going to deploy him like a typical number one receiver. He's not just going to step in to the Devontae Adams role in terms of playing that X receiver, lining up so much on the boundary. He's going to still spend a lot of time in that sort of like wing position that they used him in for blocking purposes, a way of getting him open sort of on those leak plays. That's still going to be a big part of his role. In some ways, it's actually closer to how the Rams use Cooper Kupp. Obviously, he's not that level of receiver, but in terms of the way the coaching staff will deploy him, you're going to see a lot more stuff like that. So he's not going to be a traditional number one. Now, you can get away with that when you have a lot around him, but it's not clear at this point whether or not the Packers do. You know, Sammy Watkins looks like he's going to play some kind of significant role for the Packers. He has not been able to stay healthy for a full season in some time for a variety of teams in a variety of situations. Then you have those young receivers that you mentioned earlier. And right now, Romeo Doubs, the fourth-round pick, looks like he may end up being the most productive of these rookies, at least if he stays healthy. Now, that could work out for them. He's been very impressive in camp. But depending on a rookie, regardless of where that player is selected, is always going to be troublesome if it's a receiver. They just tend not to produce at very high levels. You know, the Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase situations are still very, very rare. So the Packers are dealing with this very inexperienced receiving core in an offense that requires a lot of its wide receivers. It's going to be very interesting to watch, especially as this preseason unfolds.
Final question here on the Packers. That defense kind of had some bright spot moments last year. They get rid of Za'Darius Smith. He's with the Vikings right now. They get to bring back Preston Smith, though. I like that move. How much do you see the defense kind of playing a pretty important factor on this season? Because I thought they played pretty well in the playoff game last year.
Yeah, that playoff performance against the 49ers was by far their best of the entire season. Even though that game did not go the Packers' way, that defense gave up next to nothing. Now, that touchdown was not given up by the defense. That happened on special teams. Yeah. So it looks like a very impressive unit. And you mentioned Za'Darius Smith leaving. Well, certainly he's a player that you'd want to have on almost any defense. He didn't really play last season anyway. He only played a handful of snaps in that regular season opener before his back and subsequent surgery forced him on injured reserve for the rest of the regular season. So they're not dealing with a loss in that regard. And they've added pieces. You know, they spent both of their first-round picks along the defensive front and in the linebacking core. And Quay Walker, the first of those picks, looks like he's going to start week one, again, you know, barring injury. So these guys are going to be able to make an impact right away. And this was already a unit that was pretty productive in that front. They had Jerron Reed, a defensive lineman, most recently of Kansas City. You know, he's not a superstar. He's not going to be someone who's going to produce double-digit sacks like he did earlier in his career with the Seattle Seahawks, but he doesn't have to do that in Green Bay. He really only has to be a better defensive lineman in the run and be able to provide a little bit of help for Kenny Clark, their superstar nose tackle. And it looks like he and some of those other additions are going to be able to do that. So the defense, instead of just being this ancillary piece that has been in Green Bay for the better part of a decade, could actually be the most impressive part of this entire team as the season unfolds. In that secondary, again, if everybody is healthy, may be the most talented in the league. Jair Alexander, who also missed most of last season, is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. He's back healthy. Eric Stokes was an impressive rookie in 2021. He comes back, and he's going to be one of those other starters along the boundary. And Rasul Douglas, who was that mid-season pickup off the Arizona Cardinals practice squad, it turned into, you know, basically a turnover machine. He comes back and is likely to play most of his snaps in the slot. So you have this really good unit with really good safeties, and it's going in the back of this really talented and fast defensive front seven. This could be the best defense the Packers have fielded since the last time they went to the Super Bowl.
Jason, let me ask you a question. Let's circle the wagon about the whole NFC North. We see there's a lot of changes that happen with the Green Bay Packers, especially Devontae Adams, now a Las Vegas Raider. We all know that Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. We all know that. And I think there was odds out there that they're still the perennial favorites to win the NFC North this year. I think they're supposed to have like a record of like 13-5, which is crazy. With a lot of question marks, especially the secondary, the offensive line, to see what they're going to look like. I know they're getting Bakhtiari back this full season. They got a couple other players coming on that line that are coming from injuries. You look at the Minnesota Vikings. Do you think they have an opportunity with now Kevin Connell there to help Kirk Cousins possibly take that leap to possibly challenge the Packers or another team in the NFC North for that title?
You certainly can't rule that out, but there's a lot of variables there that deserve discussion, because this is a team that has, over the past 5 years, had a really strong defense. But it's not a guarantee that with this coaching staff change, that defense isn't going to go through some growing pains of its own. It's not keeping the same scheme that they had under previous head coach Mike Zimmer. They're going with Ed Donatell, who is going to bring a version of that Vic Fangio defense that's become so popular across the league.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that scheme. There's several teams that run it at a very, very high level, including the defending champion Los Angeles Rams. So it's not a problem schematically, but the adjustment to it could be troublesome for a team like the Minnesota Vikings. So that's a team that's focused very heavily down the middle, or has been historically, under Zimmer. And those things still matter in the Fangio scheme, but the safeties are going to have to play very differently. You're talking about not exactly the youngest group. Harrison Smith in particular has played basically in one scheme his entire career. Now, he certainly has the ability and the intelligence to make the adjustment, but it's just a lot of adjustment for a player at this point in his career. And you look at the defensive front, it is not as talented as he used to be. Now, maybe Anthony Barr wasn't going to be as good as he was 3-4 years ago, but he's still a player on the field that was very effective. How are they going to replace him? How is this coaching staff, again, going to help these players adjust? Now, on offense, I actually don't think it's as big of an adjustment. Like, I think that offense, at least, again, if all the principal pieces are healthy, should be better, because on paper, they're not really making this giant schematic shift. You know, they were already running a version of that Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay scheme. They were just running a version of it that involved a lot more of the run game. That's more to do with play calling. They can adjust that part. But in terms of the players being comfortable in the scheme, I just don't think that's as big of an adjustment. So if Cousins is healthy, if Dalvin Cook is healthy, if Justin Jefferson is healthy, you know, and the offensive line is at least somewhat functional, I actually think that unit could be really, really good and not really have to go through a lot of growing pains, because, again, this is not going to be totally new to them.
You know, there's one team I wanted you to want to talk about. I don't know. Do you watch Hard Knocks? Are you a Hard Knocks fan?
I wouldn't say I'm a Hard Knocks fan, but I have viewed
them. Well, this year, they guess who they get? They get a team from the NFC North, the Detroit Lions. And I'm a big Dan Campbell fan, and I'm really excited to see what this offense looks like. Do you think that this offense could be any good with the addition of drafting Jameson Williams from Alabama? They got DJ Chark in free agency. You got Hockenson coming back. Hopefully, he'll be able to play a healthy season. You got Amon-Ra Brown, who just blew up last year after being, you know, in his rookie season. And you've got the double-headed sword. One, a former Packer and Jamal Williams, and, of course, DeAndre Swift. How good do you think this offense can be? Do you think they could be threatening in this NFC North?
It's a very big "it depends." Because one of those big pieces that you mentioned, Jameson Williams, could be effective, we think, in almost any offense. I mean, he was so effective that final season at Alabama. You know, he's not just this deep threat, obviously, although that is a big part of his game. He's tall, he's long, he's actually a lot better in contested catch situations than you'd think for a player that whose game is so predicated on speed. But he may not play for a while. It's actually not a guarantee that he plays this season, depending on how things go.
Right.
And that was one of their big additions this offseason. So if he's there, it's going to change the geometry of any defense that they face. So even if the unit overall isn't, you know, crazy effective, Williams can adjust things in a way that's very beneficial for that quarterback. If it's going to be Jared Goff, it's going to be somebody else at some point during the season. Again, we don't know at this point how long Goff's going to be in that seat if he struggles like he did for not all, but most of last season. So then you look at the rest of the unit. You know, they're pretty strong in the backfield. As you mentioned, the offensive line, when healthy, is not a super strong unit, but it's not a bad one either. But again, it's still a team that's coming together and figuring out what they're going to do. You know, they had a completely different offensive coordinator at the beginning of last season, Anthony Lynn, the former Chargers head coach. He was not fired, but essentially his play card was taken away from him around midseason. And now they're going to go with, it seems, Ben Johnson as the new offensive coordinator and play caller. Mm-hmm. And that may end up being extremely beneficial for them. It may end up making no difference. We just don't know at this point, because we haven't seen any of that in action. I don't think we're going to have a better idea about that until some point middle of the season. I mean, offensive coordinator changes can take a while to settle in. And it's just with all of these variables, it's really, really hard to say. I don't think they're as under-talented an offense as they've been in the past. But with that many things moving around, it's just really hard to assess where they will fall.
Final team we want to talk about, the Chicago Bears, and I'm sure I'm not saying anything people don't want to know. Their season pretty much rides on how Justin Fields done. And Jason, yeah. I wanted to get your reaction on kind of how they're building around him. I'm not too hot with the weapons they've surrounded him with. They got rid of Allen Robinson, Marquise Goodwin they got rid of as well. How do you see this season going for Justin Fields? Because on paper, I'm looking at it. I'm not sure I'd be too hot about the wide receiver core if I'm Mr. Fields.
Yeah, the skill position players around Justin Fields raise a lot of questions, but I don't actually think that's the biggest concern about Justin Fields' supporting cast. You look at that offensive line, and as it stands right now, their starting left tackle is going to be a fifth-round rookie selected out of an FCS school, and the right tackle will either be a day three pick from a year ago, or Riley Reiff, who, while has been productive in the past, is nearing his mid-30s, not usually what you want there. It's a reason why he's been on so many teams the last 2 years. That's far from ideal. Their interior of the offensive line is a little better, at least on paper, but that's just a lot of moving parts, a lot of new parts, most importantly, a lot of inexperience there. So that would be my chief concern, because any rookie quarterback, not specifically Justin Fields, is going to struggle when they're getting regular pressure up the middle and coming off the edge. And the Bears, on paper, look like they're going to have trouble in both of those areas with this group. I mean, they signed Riley Reiff within the past few weeks. They signed Michael Schofield within the last few weeks. They didn't do that on accident. These are players that they felt they needed because of the inexperience and the lack of talent on that offensive line. So even if the Bears had invested more resources in the receiving core, and it didn't look as barren outside of Darnell Mooney and outside of Cole Kmet, that's just going to be a concern. You can't, you know, your wide receivers and pass catchers don't matter if your quarterback's already been sacked. And I think that's going to be the biggest concern for the Bears, just because they don't have a lot of proven talent there, and the guys that they are trotting out there, the younger guys, are not coming from places that you traditionally associate with offensive line production. Now, it could work out, but that's a really, really big gap. It's my biggest question of the entire division at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jason, it has been a true pleasure having you on the show talking the NFC North.
Absolutely.
If you wouldn't mind telling people how they can get your work this season.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at @by_JBH. That's @by_JBH. You can find my work covering the Packers in the NFC North at theleap.substack.com. You can find my work at SBNation.com, and you can find my work at NFL.com.
Nice.
Well, Jason, stay out of the DMT talk with Aaron Rodgers this season. I pray for you this year.
Wouldn't even think about it.
That sounds good. Have a good rest of your Sunday, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Jason Hershorn from SB Nation has been on with us. Man.